Wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is, nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus.
Death could not hold you, the veil torn before you, it silenced the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring, the praise of your glory, for you are raised to life again.
You have no rival, you have no equal. Forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory. Now is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my Lord. What a wonderful name it is, nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. You have no rival, you have no equal. Now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory. Yours is the name above all names. Holy, holy are you, Lord God Almighty. Worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb. You are holy.
What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is, nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus.
Thank you very much. That was beautiful. The kids are coming. It is time for the children's moment. So, okay, one piece at a time. Does it matter which piece? The big yellow one first. So I would assume this is for scuba diving, air tank, oxygen. All right. No agenda here whatsoever. All right. Hold on. Personal rescue, be swift. A dive, buddy. All right. And then we, okay, all right. And then we've got in here a Bible, a holy Bible. So, easy. So this is referred to as a dive, buddy, you said. All right. So when you're diving deep and going to help save somebody or rescue somebody or maybe just do something fun, and we have the Bible, which is also our buddy. And when we read Scripture, it gives us the ability to dive deep into the things that we're called to do, to go and to bring the love of Jesus to others. And again, it talks about baptism, and we've got all the accoutrements here for a good hearty baptism, as you mentioned earlier, and those are always good and important. So, okay, guys, hold on. Now listen, let me have that. All right, you guys can see with your eyes, not with your hands, all right? Okay, so we've got this that helps us to go underwater and to do different things. We've got Scripture that helps us to, that's right, it makes you breathe underwater, and the Bible helps us to figure out how to come alongside people and how to live life that we're called to live. So I'm going to end this now because y'all are going crazy and we need a rescue buddy to come and rescue me. So let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, for your love and grace. We thank you that you come alongside us and that you help us. Lord, at times life seems overwhelming and we seem to be caught up in the floodwaters. And Lord, we thank you that you are with us, that your word is here to guide us and lead us. We thank you for these kids, for their love, and for just their excitement about all these things. And we pray that you would continue to guide and lead us in all things. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. All right, you guys can go and sin no more, all right? There is something exciting about the yellow oxygen tank. Man, those kids were all kinds of excited. Thank you, Roger, for bringing that. Our scripture lesson this morning comes from Luke chapter 4, verses 21 to 30. Luke chapter 4, verses 21 through 30. We're continuing to go through the fruit of the Spirit, and we are on kindness today. If you don't mind to go to the next slide, just to kind of remind us where we have been thus far. We've talked about love, and we've talked about love being the initiation, God's love initiating towards us. And so love is the starting point for the fruit of the Spirit. And as love continues to grow, it begins to encompass joy, which is how we express that love. And then we come to peace, and that is that what we receive from God and from others and what we have the opportunity to offer to others. And then peace, or patience, we talked about last week, this waiting on God and being non-anxious in the midst of life and all of the things that life can throw at us from time to time. And today we're going to continue to talk about the fruit of the Spirit, and we're going to look at kindness. Now, some, when they look at the fruit of the Spirit, some tend to talk about love, joy, and peace being these internal things, and kindness being kind of that first exhibit that we show towards others. And it becomes, the rest of these almost tend, some people think, to look at how we react and how we then live life in the midst of things and how we respond to other people. And so, again, that's one interpretation of how to see them. And as we consider that this morning, I want us to hear from Luke's gospel in the fourth chapter. Now, last week we looked at verses 13 to 21, and we saw Jesus' first sermon in the synagogue. And today we're going to start with 21 and go through 30, and we're going to hear the rest of how his first sermon went in his hometown. So with that being said, let us hear now from Luke chapter 4, verses 21 to 30. He began to explain to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled just as you heard it." Everyone was raving about Jesus. So impressed were they by the gracious words flowing from his lips. They said, "This is Joseph's son, isn't it?" Then Jesus said to them, "Undoubtedly you will quote this saying to me, 'Doctor, heal yourself. Do here in your hometown what we've heard you did in Capernaum.'" He said, "I assure you that no prophet is welcome in the prophet's hometown. And I can assure you that there were many widows in Israel during Elijah's time, when it didn't rain for 3.5 years and there was a great food shortage in the land. Yet Elijah was sent to none of them, but only to a widow in the city of Zarephath in the region of Sidon. There were also many persons with skin diseases in Israel during the time of the prophet Elisha, but none of them was cleansed. Instead, Naaman, the Syrian, was cleansed." When they heard this, everyone in the synagogue was filled with anger. They rose up and ran him out of town. They led him to the crest of the hill on which their town had been built so they could throw him off the cliff. But he passed through the crowd and went on his way. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray together. Gracious God, we thank you again for this day, for your love and your grace, for all that you do for us. We thank you for the reading and the hearing of this, your word, and we pray that you would be with the words you have given to me. May they be yours and not mine. May they open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our hearts to receive, our minds to understand. And may we, in the strength of the bodies you have given to us, be faithful to your call upon us. And we ask all of these things in Christ's name. Now, last week, as I mentioned, we looked at patience. And that's the sermon nobody wants to hear, right? Nobody wants to hear a sermon on patience. And I'm going to contend today that while patience is difficult, I think kindness is the hardest fruit of the Spirit to exhibit. Because kindness is a direct result of one's patience or lack of patience. And people will know if you've been patient based on your kindness or your unkindness towards them, right? And so I think kindness is the more difficult of the fruit of the Spirit. Kindness is defined as the act of treating someone with respect. For us as Christians, it means recognizing the other person's value in Christ. Recognizing that others have been created just as we have by the same God who loves them as much as he loves us. And what I find most interesting about kindness, especially in light of today's passage, is that it is often easier to be kind to strangers than it is to be kind to family and friends. All right? Let's think about that for a second. Common courtesy. How many of us are familiar with common courtesy? Right. Common courtesy is very easy in short bursts, right? You meet somebody, you want to kind of give them your best, put your best foot forward. You're going to be nice to them. You're going to discuss pleasantries. You're going to interact. And then you may or may not see this person ever again, right? And so it's very easy to be kind to somebody that you're maybe only going to see for a short time, or maybe you won't see that often. However, when you're around someone a little bit longer, kindness begins to fade, right? It begins to relax a little. You get a little more comfortable with the people that you're around. And so maybe you're not as kind or things of that nature as you were before, right? How many of us have ever heard the phrase, the honeymoon's over? Okay, all right, yes. Testify, brother. No. The honeymoon's over, right? Things have started to, reality is beginning to set in. I think for poor Abby, the honeymoon was over as far as she was concerned a couple minutes after we got married. She was like, oh, here's the reality of what I've done. Lucky. Honeymoon's over. Honeymoon's over. If not now, it is now for sure. Sorry, Abby, I love you. There's another phrase. When you're talking about guests, what do guests and fish have in common? After 3 days, they begin to stink, right? After 3 days, it's time for us to move on. Now, this statement actually has its founding, I think, in the cultural understanding of Jesus' day. In Jesus' time and in their culture, the expectation, if you were hosting someone, was 3 days. If somebody came to your home, the expectation was that you would host them for up to 3 days. If it was going to be longer than that, it had to be initiated by the host. And if the host didn't initiate anything after 3 days as a guest, your responsibility was to move on, was to go. So after 3 days, kindness is going to get tested a little, is it not? You're going to have to start figuring some of those things. So kindness is a difficult fruit, but one that we are called to exhibit. And Jesus tells us here in verse 24, it's one of the most interesting things he says, I think, and as a pastor, I really kind of get where he's coming from. He says, I assure you that no prophet is welcome in the prophet's hometown. People will show kindness to a prophet. But when there's a prophet that comes around that they watched grow up, they're going to expect some things, right? They're going to expect things that they didn't expect from maybe another prophet. Jesus goes on to say, some of you undoubtedly are going to say, show us some of the miracles that we've heard you've done in Capernaum. They wouldn't have asked that of a prophet that didn't grow up in this synagogue. They wouldn't have asked that of someone who claimed to be a prophet who came through. But they're asking that of Jesus because he grew up there. Isn't this Joseph's son? Didn't we watch him grow up? One of my biggest pastoral fears is that I would be appointed to my home church in Louisville. Now, please hear me. I love my home church. I love the people of my home church. In August of this year, we'll mark the 20-year anniversary of when I graduated high school and went off to college. And I really haven't been back since. You know, I went back for summers and things like that, but I really haven't been back to my home church in quite a while. So undoubtedly there are a number of people there who have no idea who I am. Poor people. And then there's the others who watched me grow up. Lord have mercy. Those poor people. And I can imagine getting in the pulpit and beginning my ministry there and people saying, isn't this Tom and Diane's son? Isn't this the kid who, before we remodeled the church, could pick every single lock in the church? Well, yes, it is. And I think that's why they remodeled. I think that's really the only reason they did that. They would find me in some of those random rooms and just, hey, how's it going? Isn't this the kid who used to give us a hard time with this, that, or there? I was that kid in youth group. Somebody would say something, I'd say, well, doesn't the Bible say you? I was that. And it would be different. Because they would not necessarily see Matt the pastor, right? They would see Matt the little jerk. Or something like that. It's hard to pastor the people who raised you. We've all heard the phrase, you can't go home again. And there's a sense of truth to that phrase. You really can't go home again. You can go back, but you have to kind of reestablish a sense of who you are and who people see you as. Things change, but the perceptions that people have of you are not likely to change as quickly as we change. Now, over the course of this week, I've had around 149 of you to respond to the email that I put out asking for your birth years. I want to thank you for that. Many of you know I'm working on my dissertation. And I was surprised at first I was worried that this might offend you if I asked. And then I got all these emails. I was like, oh, this isn't offensive at all. This is great. And I was surprised at how many of you spouses, when you mentioned what year you were born, you made sure to note that you were born after your spouse. So you're very brave, and I appreciate that. And your secret's safe with me. But I was surprised by that. And so what I'm doing with my dissertation is I'm looking at lay leadership, collaboration, and succession. How you as the lay people work together and grow each other up so that leadership can continue. And I'm focusing really specifically on the different generations that are in the church. There are five different generations that are here today in the church. There's the silent generation, born before 1943. We have the baby boomers who were born between 43 and 64. Generation X, born 1965, 1981. And we have the millennials, born 1982 to around 2004. And then we have the next generation. Some are calling them the iGen generation. They were born after 2005 and following. And the church is one of the few organizations where all of the current generations come together on a regular basis. And so naturally, there's going to be some friction. Because we've got all of these people who are part of these different generations who see things differently, who understand life differently because of when we were born and the things that we experienced. And churches tend to have difficulty collaborating between these generations. We don't understand each other from time to time. And because of that, there can seem to be a lack of kindness. Or what one generation thinks is kind, another generation may not think is kind. And it's fascinating. Fascinating stuff. And something we have to be mindful of, because we are a vast group of people, spanning in ages. And it's an incredible thing. And one of the things I want us to be mindful of as we're seeking to be the people that Christ has called us to be is that though we have different ideas and thoughts on how things work, I think every one of us can agree that we want the church to succeed. We want the church to do well. Now, we all have different ideas of what that success looks like, and a lot of that is based on the different generations we're a part of, but we all want it to succeed. And let's assume for the moment that we all have an idea of what that success looks like, and we're all willing to admit that this is what we're going to gauge success by. How many different ways are we going to try to go about getting to that point, right? There's going to be an infinite number of ways that we're going to try to reach that successful benchmark, whatever that may be. And because of all of these different ideas and all of these different thoughts and all of these different avenues and expressions, we have to figure out what works for us. How we can intentionally make disciples of Jesus Christ within our church, throughout our community, and around the world. And kindness is one of the things we need to be mindful of. How we are dealing with each other. Kindness isn't merely about showing somebody respect, but it's the act of learning about others so that we can understand them better, so we can understand ourselves better, so we can understand who we are called to be as a people of God better. And I think it really hinges a lot on this sense of kindness, how we show patience and peace and joy and love to each other, and how we put all of these together in our time. Now, show of hands. How many of us think differently than the people next to us? All right. Now, show of hands. How many of us have to be kind to the people that are sitting next to us? Right? Now, we're going to disagree about a whole lot of stuff. How many of us can agree that we're all going to root for the Patriots tonight? Exactly. And how many of us can agree that we want the Rams by 90 tonight, right? All right, so we've got a lot of differing viewpoints, but can we be kind to each other in the midst of that? And if we can't agree on something as simple as a football game, the things that really matter, we're going to have to be kind. We're going to have to work together and figure those things out. And that's a tall order. I think that's what Jesus is showing us here. So how can we begin to show kindness amongst ourselves? How can we begin to trust each other? How can we begin to see each other beyond our shared history? How many of you have watched half of this congregation grow up? Right? Yeah, or never grow up. Yeah, that's right. Or some of us peaked at 12, and you know, that's just the way it is. Are we willing to see these people differently and allow them to grow so that they can become leaders, right? Are we willing to learn from them and to, again, be kind to one another? I love Jesus' response to this crowd. His first sermon, at first they think he's brilliant. He's the best thing since sliced bread, and they don't even have sliced bread, so he's the best thing ever at this point. And then just a few minutes later, they're ready to throw him off a cliff. I'm so glad I'm not as good a preacher as Jesus. I'm so glad there's not a lot of cliffs in Elkhart. But I love his response. He does two things. He lets them lead him to the cliffside. We notice he goes. He lets them take him there. And then he passes through them and goes on his way. Right? He doesn't fight them. He doesn't hurt anybody. He simply passes through. He shows an extreme amount of kindness and patience. And he's very much at peace. I think he's probably going to find joy because he's Jesus' new life. He's doing all of these things so, so very well here. And what I think we can take away from this is that people will allow us to lead if we're kind. People will give us an opportunity if we are kind. But we will lose people if we lead them to the cliffs of our own prerogatives. They will pass through. A lot of people, when they talk about the church, they have a very small front door, but they have a huge back door. And a lot of people just pass through. And it's because we keep trying to lead people to what we think is right or wrong, and not finding that area of agreement around Jesus as Lord and Savior. Kindness is difficult because it is the proper mixture and result of the love, joy, peace, and patience we have with ourselves and with each other. We've got to do all of these things well if we're going to be kind. And that is the task that is set before us today. I pray and I hope for myself and for you all that we can be kind in all of the things that we do, recognizing that we're going to, at some point, have to agree to disagree about things that don't matter and about things that do matter. But knowing that, above all, Jesus shows us kindness because he loves us. And we owe the same to him. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you've given to us. We thank you for your kindness towards us, for your patience with us. We pray that we would be able to show that same kindness to each other. that we would be more concerned with being kind and seeking you in your ways rather than our own ways. Lord, forgive us where we fall. Free us to do those things that you have gifted and graced us to do. We ask all of these things.